We out here on some nut shit. Y'all already know what it is.
Wait, time out. I don't have a good song on. I don't even have a song on.
Right, guys, there was like no new music that came out this past week that I was even in the slightest bit excited for after I listened to it. I know, I think last week I mentioned on Monday that there was a few things I was excited for. I was excited for, or I should say I was very much interested in the Miley Cyrus album, and I was really interested in the Sabrina Claudio album, obviously. But neither of those albums really did anything for me, and I'll get into why that was after I go through singles. There were like a couple singles that I want to talk about. I mean, every week I script this podcast, but this week literally there was not a single piece of music that left enough of an impression on me for me to like script out my opinion on it. So I'm just winging it. So this might be really good or really bad. I feel like it might in a way be a lot better than my scripted episodes, but fuck it, we're just gonna get into it. The first single that I want to talk about is a weird single because it's a single from St. John, and it's another St. John and Kanye West song. And the weird thing about it is that St. John tweeted out that this song was missing from the album when it first came out, which is weird. I don't know what he really meant by that. Like, I don't know if it was meant to be, if he like was planning on doing like a deluxe and just said forget it and then just release the one song, or if like it actually was supposed to have, the album was supposed to have two completely separate songs, both with Kanye West on them. But this, it's called Smack DVD, and again featuring Kanye West, and it's a lot better than the other Kanye, than the other song with Kanye on it. Not that original one, I'm looking up the name of that one. That, Pray For Me was the one that was already on the album when it first came out. But this new, Smack DVD is better pretty much in every aspect, as far as I, like, the, it's more aggressive, it's more energetic. It's way more, like, interesting of a song. Way more upbeat. And Kanye's verse is just leagues better, and it's like leagues better. I can't remember if I said that the Kanye verse on Pray For Me was anything special. If I did, this one just blows it out of the water, like, dramatically. It actually sounds like he has like energy. Like, it sounds like he actually really wanted to do a good job on this one, and he tried really hard. He still got like his weird like black babies are getting killed type deal, like his like weird activist stuff off, but there was like it was really only that one situation. The rest of it was actually like a pretty good verse, that was pretty interesting. But I mean, like I said, new song from St. John and Kanye West, I liked it a lot. It's going in my favorite songs of the year, and it would have easily been put on my favorite songs on the album had it been on the bass album. And it's still weird to me that it wasn't included, it's just here. But regardless, again, that was called Smack DVD by St. John and Kanye West. Next single I want to talk about really quickly is this song, another song that was added to an album that came out over the summer, if I remember correctly. This new Lil Yachty, Future, and Playboi Carti song called Flex Up. This song is part of a deluxe to Lil Yachty's Lil Boat 3.5 album, which came out sometime during the summer. I can't remember exactly when, but that album, I think it came out before I started the podcast, maybe. I feel like it came out before I started the podcast, because I don't necessarily remember talking about it. Maybe it came out during the podcast, it just wasn't good enough for me to talk about. And I still hold that same sentiment. I haven't approached it since the first time I listened to it. Lil Yachty just kind of lost his novelty to me in a lot of ways. And I mean, when you lose your novelty, Lil Yachty's not that good of a performer or an artist, in my opinion. But he does every once in a while come with an interesting song, or at least a song that I would enjoy listening to, which goes for this song, again, called Flex Up. Again, featuring Future and Playboi Carti. This song is heavy as shit. I like it a lot. I didn't know what to expect. But I saw a lot of people were really excited about, obviously, because of Playboi Carti. I don't know how he's been teasing a whole lot of Red for like a year and a half, it seems like. And it people are still excited for it. But people saw his name, got really excited. I'm not the biggest Playboi Carti fan. I think he makes very fun music to listen to, even though it's not the best music in the world. But just because of that, I was like, I'll check it out. I'll just check it out. It's not a big deal. And I was thoroughly impressed. Every morning when I wake up and do my little room exercise thing, that's what I wake up to get myself like energized. This pumped up, or energized, Jesus Christ. To get me pumped up is this song. The beat is insanely hard, insanely heavy, hard hitting. It's really high energy. It sounds really, it sounds more like a Playboi Carti song than it does a Future song or a Lil Yachty song. And I don't know if that's just because Playboi Carti goes first and he sounds like he actually, it sounds like a song that he would make, but it just to put it into perspective, it sounds like something off of God, what the hell was his album called? I forget what it was called, but you guys know. If you know about Playboi Carti and you know what kind of music he makes, that's what the song sounds like. Granted, he didn't have the best verse on here. I think he might have had the second best verse. No, I lied. He is the worst because he's back to doing that weird baby voice thing that he likes to do. It just so happens that this song just sounds better anyway, so you don't really need his voice to you don't need to hear that stupid baby voice for 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes. It's just in there for like 30 seconds and he's gone. But when he leaves, we get a pretty decent Lil Yachty feature, which is played off. It sounds like this song was meant for just Lil Yachty and Playboi Carti, but then I guess Future somehow found his way on. And the reason I say that is because Future's verse is just so like thematically different, or just like structurally different than the other two verses, even though the other two verses didn't have too much structure intrinsically. But I mean, the Future verse is just fun as hell. And I mean, Future music to a beat like this is very I mean, Future's a trap artist, right? And he this in a way, this is his lane. As of late, it hasn't really been his lane this much, like this very, very, very like high energy hard type, like hard hitting music. I mean, granted, a lot of his music as of late has still been, or some of his music as of late has still been very like high energy, but when it comes to music like this, it kind of reminds me that he is very much a grandfather of the trap, of like modern trap music. And it's just like, oh, so this is what you've been holding back for months and months and months. But that verse is my favorite. I love listening to it. It's so much fun. It's so stupid, but I mean, it's just what makes it's in a lot of ways that feature is you see a lot of what makes feature or geez, future in that verse. It's a cool song. Again, not much to say like lyrically because there's not much. There's just like a lot of misogyny, which is, you know, in real life it's bad, but in music it's funny because you know it's bad. And it has some entertainment value to it. So again, song called Flex Up. It's Lil Yachty featuring Future and Playboi Carti. Is there another song I want to talk about? There's this new song by Corday, previously known as YBN Corday, called The Parables. I thought it was really cool. I only gave it a couple listens, but it was just a really solid rap song. Corday's a really talented guy, is a really talented artist. But I mean, I have it in my library. I'm just like looking at my library right now, and I just gotta mention it because I think it was good. I don't really have many opinions past that because again, I didn't listen to it too many times and over the weekend. I think I only added it like maybe, what's today, Monday? I added it like maybe Saturday night or something like that. So I didn't get a chance to like get a lot of listens to it to get like a full fleshed out opinion on it. And I didn't love it enough off the first couple listens to like want to get a better idea for what I liked and didn't like about the song. I think it's good. I think it's cool. very well made song. But that's literally all I have on it. Again, it's called The Parables by Corday. Corday is spelled Cordae. Alright, so that's really all I have for singles. I'm not even going to bother looking at some of the other singles that came out, because I don't think there was anything. In terms of, oof. But as I mentioned earlier, the two albums that I was really interested in this past week just kind of ended up being, none of them are, I don't want to say either of them are bad, it's just that I didn't connect, I just didn't connect with either of them for very separate reasons. One of the reasons I actually talked about last week as a possibility for me not liking it, but I'll get into that. But I'll start off with the Miley Cyrus album. Again, this album is called Plastic Hearts, came out on Friday. I could give you guys stats, I don't really think it matters, but I'll just jump into it. So it's 15 songs long, 50 minutes, which is fine for my preference. And this is, so on Monday, last episode, I talked about how I was very intrigued to see what this album would sound like, because I had no idea what it would sound like, because as Miley Cyrus kind of throughout her career has historically like switched up her style, her musical style or her musical lane, a bunch of times, really on every release. And so I was kind of interested to see what this one would sound like. I kind of had a feeling it would be more rock influenced. I didn't think it would be literally a rock album. I thought it would be more rock influenced, but a little tidbit about my music taste is that I'm not super into like rock music. There's nothing I have against it. And I mean, as far as music genre goes, it's probably unassuming as far as my listening habits go, where like, you know, if I'm in the car with someone who's listening to rock music, I'm not going to politely ask them to turn it off or like put in my own headphones and listen to my own music. Like, I'm not going to do that. For the most part, rock music is just kind of there. It just kind of exists, but it's nothing that I would ever really seek out for the most part. And wow. And this, you know, and it was just, that's just what this album was for me. It was just music that didn't sound bad and was relatively well made from at least how I was listening to it. I just didn't vibe with the vast majority of it. I mean, I still do like the singles that she released. I still do like Midnight Sky, which came out months and months and months ago. And I do still like Prisoner, which I talked about last week on last week's podcast, because that's when that single came out. Again, that one was called Prisoner. It's featuring Dua Lipa. That one is definitely a pop song. I like the songs that were like more poppy, obviously, as that's where my interest and listening habits lie. But I mean, you know, it's, again, I don't want to say that this album is bad, because it's not, and I don't want to tell you guys to not listen to it, because I mean, objectively speaking, it sounds pretty all right to me. I feel like it's funny because Miley Cyrus definitely has way more of a rock voice than like a pop voice. And I think I was telling Sarah, like, we kind of agreed on that point that like, just like when she gets into like, even on songs like as long ago as like The Climb, which I'm sure most of you guys can like kind of hear in the back of your head, or can, you know, visualize at this point without actually going back and trying to find it again. Even like in 2020 at this point, like that, the way that song sounds makes so much more sense now, because it's like, even when she gets into like those parts of the song in The Climb I'm talking about here, when she's like really playing to her, where it's very vocally focused, her voice sounds very, it doesn't sound like a pop voice, even though it's very much a pop song or a pop ballad, if you want to be a little bit more specific. Her voice doesn't really make it sound like it is. And I say that to say that her voice sounds great here. Like I said, like, none of these songs are inherently bad. They just don't connect with me. They just don't connect with me. In a way, it's kind of like, if you guys listening, remember my episode way at the beginning of this podcast when I, when Sarah and I talked about Taylor Swift's newest album called Folklore. I said back then that folk music is really kind of Taylor Swift's sweet spot because it plays to her strengths, which is songwriting, and not so much her voice. In an equal but opposite way, I think this style of music is really what Miley Cyrus's strength is and what she should keep doing, even though I won't necessarily be looking out for it if she continues to make music like this. And again, that's not an indictment on her or the music itself. It's just my own personal taste in the music. I will say that I did take two other songs off this other than the two singles that she released beforehand. Both of them being the first two songs off the album being What the Fuck Do I, or like WTF Do I Know and Plastic Hearts. Those two songs I liked a decent bit. The others I just kind of, you know, I listened to them once and I was like, yeah, no, these just aren't for me. Midnight Sky is amazing, though. I still love that song a lot. I still hold the fact that I think it would be better if someone else sang it, but I think it's still really good even with Miley Cyrus singing it. But yeah, that's really, again, this album was called Plastic Hearts by Miley Cyrus. And again, not for me, but I definitely don't want to say that it is a bad album. So go check it out if you're interested. If you're into like female rock music or this kind of song or this kind of style or sound, definitely go check it out. And I don't want to say the biggest disappointment of last week's music, but I don't want to say it was the biggest disappointment because I kind of, in the back of my head, I knew I wasn't going to like it nearly as much as I liked her other releases or other music in general. I'm, of course, talking about the Sabrina Claudio's Christmas album, which it's funny, I went back to my liked songs to look up the album just to quickly click on the album, but then I remembered that I didn't save any of the songs in my library, and that is because while I knew the album's called Christmas Blues, by the way, 8 songs, 25 minutes. The reason, and I did kind of allude to this, like I said, on my last episode, but I knew going into this project that it was going to be a Christmas album, obviously, it was promoted that way, and I also said that I am not the biggest fan of Christmas music in general. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just like how I listen to music now and just like just the seasonality and like just like the overbearing themes of Christmas music just kind of like get super or just like are super stale to me at this point. Or I don't know why I dislike listening to Christmas music so much without a good bit of a twist on it. I made my old roommate, my college roommate Sam, made a joke on Twitter because I said I was going to listen to the Sabrina Claudio album only because it's Sabrina Claudio, not because it's a Christmas album. And he made a joke that that even though I said I don't like Christmas music, I would always listen to Pentatonix to Pentatonix's Christmas albums in the apartment. And to my defense of that is just that while that is definitely still Christmas music and they're singing, you know, traditional Christmas songs, just their own rendition of it, I think that they're interesting enough and I like the whole a cappella concept that I would listen to it. Like, I don't mind listening to that music. And it's, you know, in a world where I would realistically get crucified for not liking Christmas music, if I'm going to have Christmas music be played, I'm going to put on Pentatonix. It's really the only Christmas music I care to listen to in general. But yeah, back to off that little rant of my defense of not liking Christmas music. This album, like I said, was, you know, very expectedly a Christmas album. My big question going into it was how Christmassy was it going to be? Meaning, how is Christmas going to be like a setting for this album, or like an influence in this album, or is it more going to be like a wintry, like soft kind of Christmas in tone but not in theme, if that makes sense? If it was going to be that, or if it's going to be Christmas in theme and tone. I was more worried about the latter, and the latter is what I got, being this was a very, very, very Christmas album. And I love Sabrina Claudio, love her voice, love what she can do with it. I love the vast majority of anything that she does, musically speaking. It was just not enough. My admiration for her and my appreciation for her was just not enough for me to just accept the music that is on this album for what it was. Like, I could not. It's just like, I'll probably end up throwing this. I don't, now that I'm in my, now that I'm back living with my parents, after college, I, like, my mom likes playing Christmas music, so there's no reason for me to ever be, like, quote-unquote, in charge of playing Christmas music. So there is no real reason for me to update my Christmas Spotify playlist, because I'm not going to be playing Christmas music on my own accord, especially not by myself. But if I wanted to, this would be a good addition. This album would be a good addition to that playlist, because, again, I think this album would be, I would like this album, well, I shouldn't say I think, I know I would like this album so much more if I like Christmas music, but I just don't. And everything that I dislike about this album is purely because of that distaste for Christmas music. And I saw someone online say that this is like Christmas music if Christmas music wanted to be like, you know how, like, for Halloween, the joke is that girls just wear, like, sexy versions of costumes, like sexy nurse or sexy whatever. You guys get the meme. It's an old ass meme. That's kind of, take that same meme and transfer it to Christmas music. This is just like sexy Christmas music, and that's just kind of the music that Sabrina Claudio makes. So, I mean, you know, it's on par, and it, you know, it's in character for her to make music like this. It doesn't sound right in my brain to, like, hear, you know, this quote-unquote Christmas music sound sexy. It just sounds weird to my brain, and I just immediately rejected it. It's funny because there is a song on here with The Weeknd that I was looking forward to, and the reason that The Weeknd's, excuse my dad sneezing, I don't know if the mic picked that up. Jesus Christ, all dads sneeze loud as shit. But I was, if you're wondering why The Weeknd of all people is on this album, if you go to look at this, if you wonder why The Weeknd of all people is on this album, it's because The Weeknd and Sabrina Claudio have the same manager. So, and I think, I mean, they're both under Atlantic as far as I know, but they, you know, they're going to be close in contact, artistically speaking. I was actually very disappointed when Sabrina Claudio was not on The Weeknd's After Hours, despite her being on the tour that got canceled. But I mean, that album didn't have any features on it, at least in the bass version, so I guess I can't be mad. But slight rant aside, I was looking forward to seeing what they would sound like on a song together. It's just unfortunate that they had to get together on a Christmas song, because I don't like either of them on this song. The Weeknd especially, I think, was just kind of, it was a really lazy performance, and it was kind of like, not cheesy, but just kind of like really like low level music to me. And it's just, you know, it is what it is. If I want Sabrina Claudio music, I have three albums I can go back to that I love. So I guess I'm not heartbroken that I don't like this one. But so let's just say that I'm with the release of this, I don't think I'm getting more music from her. It's my the biggest reason why I'm upset with this album is because I know that I essentially just wasted a Sabrina Claudio project on Christmas music. Like, it just seems like a waste of a project, for me at least. You know, if any other person made a Christmas album, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, because it's like, all right, well, I don't really need their music that much. But yeah, if you're interested in more Christmas music that sounds sexy for whatever reason, it's called, again, this album is called Christmas Blues by Sabrina Claudio. And as far as new music goes, that really does it for this podcast, for this episode. Again, there wasn't really anything that stuck out. It was kind of a really lazy week for music. There was a Bad Bunny album that I heard a couple songs off of that sounded cool. That sounded pretty good, honestly. That I still haven't gotten the chance to go back and listen to. it's, I don't know, it's music to me that I do want to listen to at some point. And a bunch of my college friends really like Bad Bunny and like his music a lot. So I know that it's of high quality. I've heard it before. I've heard his password before and I like it. I just, I'm not running to it necessarily. So maybe next week, especially if it's slow, maybe I'll get back to you guys on that album. I forget what that album's called. I'm just going to look it up real quick because I'm mentioning it. So I feel like I should actually know what it's talking about. It's called El Ultimo Tour del Mundo. I'm definitely butchering how that's pronounced, but, you know, whatever. But yeah, that really kind of does it for new music this week. I figured that for the rest of the time, I could mention, I don't know how much time I'll spend on this last little bonus section here, but last night on Sunday, I went on Twitch and I kind of held like a little versus battle. For any of you guys who don't know listening, Versus is a series, it's like an internet series now, where it was created by Swizz Beatz and someone else, if I remember correctly, and it was sold to Apple Music for distribution rights. So, but what it basically is you, the, I'll call it an organization, whatever, but the Versus, the people who run Versus, they select two artists, usually they're a little bit older with like a bigger catalog, and have a similar catalog or a similar fan base. And they put them in a room, they give them 20 rounds, song to song, head to head, and they, you know, it's kind of set up like a competition, like, hey, who would win, you know, song X versus song Y. So, like, for example, they did, like, 2 Chainz versus Rick Ross, which is kind of a weird matchup, personally. But, like, for example, it would be, like, I can't remember what song the matchups were, but it would be, like, I don't know, 2 Chainz' birthday song against Rick Ross's So Sophisticated. I don't know. I don't think that was a matchup, but you get the point. It's just, like, song versus song. And then, like, people watching, they go in the chat, and they're like, ah, you know, so-and-so won 15-5 or whatever. You know what I mean? But yeah, so every time there's a Versus, especially as we've gotten farther and farther into it, and we got some pretty big names out of it, one matchup that, well, actually, bringing up the 2 Chainz and Rick Ross versus, excuse me, actually kind of fits into this because both of them, both Rick Ross and 2 Chainz, have a lot of Drake features. And one thing about Drake features is that your song is just better with a Drake feature. So it was kind of like after that competition or during the competition, a lot of people were saying, like, you know, since they each played so many Drake songs that, like, it just kind of shows how in, like, how Drake would never be on Versus because no one could ever beat him in a Versus. And he just has so much pull, right? And then people were like, well, maybe Kanye, like, he's like, Kanye would beat Drake in a Versus. People were saying, like, you know, back and forth, like, they wouldn't, like, so-and-so would watch the other, Drake would watch Kanye in a Versus, Kanye would watch Drake in a Versus, you know, whatever. So I was like, also, if you're unfamiliar with their relationship, they are not necessarily the best of friends at this point, even though they do have a catalog together, a pretty decent catalog together, but as of, you know, currently, they're not necessarily the best of friends, or at least that's how it's, you know, kind of thought to be at this point to the general public. But so, you know, this is a Versus that will probably never happen. Also, Kanye is not, you know, in his conversion to Christianity, if you will, he's kind of been, you know, kind of separating himself from his old music, from his old catalog, because it is very definitely not Christ-like in any capacity. So, like, I doubt he would want to jump on that purely because of that, like, beef aside. So this was something that, like, I was like, oh, well, I could, you know, I'm a, you know, I mean, you guys know I'm a massive fan of Kanye West, favorite artist in the world, and I am a really big fan of Drake too. I think he's one of the greatest artists to ever make music, period. Not necessarily by skill or talent, but just by impact and just a bunch of other stuff. But I might get into that a different time. But I was like, well, I can make a Versus for that. Like, I can do a matchup. Like, I can do that. And I was like, well, let me actually see, right? Because in my head, obviously, I'm going to lean towards Kanye. I have a massive Kanye bias. But I just wanted to see how well I can actually structure a Versus between these two guys, between these two artists, and how close it would be. So I did. So I sat down over the weekend and I put together a list of, I don't know, maybe like 40 some songs, probably more than that, maybe like 40, 50 some songs from each artist. I was like, all right, these would definitely go off in a hit battle. These are very popular songs. A lot of people know these songs. Like, these are the most notable songs from each of their catalogs, right? And I put them together, and I was like, all right, well, I would look at a song from what artist? Like, I would look at a Drake song. Like, I would look at, like, I don't know, like a song like Tuscan Leather. Tuscan Leather is an easy one. It is an easy one, right? I'm like, all right, well, what song would match up well with Tuscan Leather? Tuscan Leather is his intro to his Nothing Was the Same album. And it's, you know, it's kind of thought to be his best intro throughout, you know, his entire catalog. So I was like, all right, well, I can make a theme off that. So I was like, well, what's thought to be Kanye's best intro? And so I picked like Dark Fantasy, for example. So I did that for like, I did that kind of like comparative matchup for 24 rounds. And like, I did that 24 times, 24 matchups. And if I remember correctly, I had, so out of 24 rounds, I had Kanye winning 18 of them, and then I had Drake winning 6. That sounds right. I don't want to go through all of the matchups because I don't think you guys necessarily want to know that. And if you are interested in all the matchups, I do have them posted on my Twitter, again, at HickNope, if you're interested. It's relatively recent in my tweet, in my tweets. So if you are interested in the full lineup, go check that out. But I kind of want to talk about a couple ones. It was cool when I was streaming it. Again, I streamed this on Twitch, twitch.tv/hicknope. For anyone wondering, I had a bunch of people, a bunch of my friends in the chat, and we were just like discussing the matchups as they came on. We were playing all the music. It was a good time. I loved it. I loved it so much. And I'm definitely going to do this again. But I do want to kind of pick out a few matchups that I thought were interesting, that definitely led to a lot of discussion between me and my chat. But so let's see, like, for example, like, I had Pound Cake versus No More Parties in LA, and this one was hard to me. I kind of want to pick out the ones that I thought were a lot closer than I thought they were going to be. Pound Cake is one of my favorite Drake songs. It's one of my favorite Drake beats that he's ever rapped on. It has a really kick-ass Jay-Z verse. The reason I put these two together is because they had really big verses from really big artists. Pound Cake has Jay-Z, and No More Parties in LA has Kendrick Lamar. And I mean, I've become... No More Parties in LA kind of falls by the wayside, even though it's Kanye and Kendrick. They don't have a lot of songs together. I think that might be their only song together, now that I'm thinking about it. But for what it is, it kind of gets left behind a little bit. It kind of gets forgotten about a good bit when it comes to Kanye West catalog, and Kendrick's catalog for that matter. So whereas with Pound Cake, I feel like every Drake fan knows Pound Cake, right? Like, every Drake fan, like, Pound Cake, whenever you ask them, like, what one of their, like, if you were to, from my impression, if you were to ask any Drake fan, even like, I guess I would say some casual Drake listeners too, if they were to name their top 10 Drake songs, I'm pretty sure Pound Cake would end up on like 70 to 80% of them, which might seem like not that big of a deal, but for any song to just kind of be that well received by like an artist fan base, you know, that speaks levels. And I think while I this one was hard for me, there are parts of each one that I like more than the other, but that one was a hotly contended pick. I did pick Pound Cake to win that one. Yeah, again, I don't want to go over all these, and there were like a few, like, I had like Know Yourself versus Blood and the Leaves, where I had Blood and the Leaves winning. I mean, I had like God's Plan versus Gold Digger, which was a massively, massively contested pick. I got a lot of blowback on that one, because I picked Gold Digger. I think Gold Digger is just way more... We had an argument about like what does it mean to be like a bigger song. Granted, Gold Digger's been out for years and years and years, and God's Plan has been out for what, like two, three years or something like that. And I remember my one friend came in the chat and brought up like the number of plays or the number of views that each one of their music videos had. And it's just like, to me, like, it's not like a lot of these matchups have nothing to do with numbers. Because God's Plan by every on paper is just a much bigger song than Gold Digger was. But like Gold Digger came out in like 2005, if I remember correctly. It's been out for 15 years, and I know it still gets play, like, in a lot of venues. Whereas God's Plan just kind of had a... Obviously, God's Plan was very potent and very volatile for a while. You would hear that shit everywhere, but I feel like it won't last nearly as long. Like, I get the impression now that it won't last nearly as long as Gold Digger has and will continue to live on for. So I was like, well, I mean, you can argue that right now God's Plan is a bigger song, but, like, in 15 years, will God's Plan be as like renowned as Gold Digger is? Probably not. So, you know, that was a pretty hotly contested one. One thing that I noticed, and really the reason why I wanted to talk about this, is not necessarily because of the matchups, but it's just the fact that this matchup is like Kanye versus Drake is such a weird matchup to want, because while they both have a lot of hits, I feel like Drake just doesn't have... There were songs on here where, like, I put them up against... Like, I put Kanye's songs up against Drake's songs. And just knowing that there was not a song in Drake's catalog that could contest them. And that did not go the opposite way. Like, there was never a Drake song where I was like, ah, like, a Kanye song could not beat this. I think the closest... I'm trying to think... I'm just looking through the list and trying to see if there was a Drake song that was close. There really isn't, honestly. Where Drake gets a lot of value in his features, at least the way I had structured, like Drake has a lot of insanely good features, which is really where he's gonna beat out where he would get any points versus Kanye's in his features, right? But like Drake doesn't have a runaway. Drake doesn't have a Bound 2. Like, Drake doesn't have an All Files Down. He kind of does. Like, Drake doesn't have just, like, different... Like, there are levels to, like, hits, right? And prestige within music. And, like, just quality of music within music. And Drake doesn't have as many of those as Kanye does. So it's, like, in that aspect, I don't see how... Like, I don't see how Drake could feasibly win this, like, legitimately. Even if, like, they got together and they formatted it, like, they could probably format one better than I can. But it's, like, there are so many rounds where it's, like, yeah, Drake can win these, but it's, like, Drake has to exhaust his, like, best options to win some of these matchups where Kanye can keep runaway. Kanye could keep some of his best songs... You could not include some of Kanye's best songs and they would win. It's just, he just doesn't have to reach into like that arsenal of songs versus Drake. It's interesting. I don't know who Kanye could go against. I don't know who Drake could go against. That's better. But I don't know. I just thought it was a fun thing to do. And again, I'm going to try and do things like this more because I had so much fun doing it. So definitely check out or keep an eye on my Twitter and keep an eye on my Twitch. Again, both of those are at HickNope and twitch.tv/hicknope respectively. So yeah, check out on that if you are interested in participating in the next one. I'm gonna try and switch up genres, switch up like structure, switch up artists, you know, that whole deal. So I'll be definitely doing more of those, but I just kind of wanted to give that a shout out. I thought it was a cool thing that I did. It's cool. The Versus series is cool. I'm not taking credit for this, obviously, but it was I had a lot of fun doing it. And I think that the people who checked in on the stream also had a lot of fun. It was fun hanging out and listening to music and just kind of arguing about music. That's where I found a lot of fun. But yeah, that's really all I had for the podcast today. Again, you know, unfortunately not a whole lot of music that left a good impression on me that I can kind of pass on to you guys. But, you know, I can't say nothing dropped, but everything that did drop was just kind of just not for me. But, yeah, that has been another, well, I should say this has been yet another week without a Kanye album release. Just as every week, as it seems, we'll try again next week or this coming week. Again, not looking too hopeful. The 2020 release, it's not looking too hopeful. I mean, it is what it is. Can't say I was expecting it. But, yeah, if some of the music sounds interesting to you, go check it out. Again, even though it wasn't necessarily for me, most of the music, can't say that it won't be for you, so go check it out. But yeah, again, go check out my Twitter, Hicknope, Twitch, also at Hicknope. And yeah, I've been Nick Hope. This has been the Bittersweet Taste Podcast. Brad and I will talk to you guys again on Thursday. Hope you guys enjoyed.